It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Yesterday was cinema. If we care about the Olympics, and I know plenty of you do, all it took was the Serbians pushing the United States national team to the brink as the U.S. handle Serbia in the fourth quarter, really dominate the fourth quarter to win. It has inspired people. Kevin Durant had time for it yesterday. We'll get to some of his tweets about the state of sports discourse. But let's hear one proud American in his celebration of yesterday's big win.
I'm proud to be an American. 'Cause at least I know I'm free. Got a triple double from LeBron, 36 from Steph Curry, and I proudly stand up next to you as we beat every other country. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless USMET.
Move over, Lee Greenwood. That is a gift from Todd on TikTok. It was a stirring performance. You got people singing, patriotic about their love of their country, and really the love of basketball as Bogdanovich and Jokic pushed the U.S. as far as they could. I saw, I think it was a stand-up from Brian Windhorst. He talked about how this Serbian team has been building to this moment for a decade. This was their time, and it looked like it for about 3.5 quarters until our oldest players took over. The combo of Steph, who was great, KD hit a big-time jumper, LeBron being LeBron. You heard the gentleman, a gift from Todd, talk about the triple-double. I wouldn't say it was something that brought the country together, because we always have factions, right? We have the people who root against the U.S. men in basketball for whatever reason. There are many reasons for it. I don't have to get into them. We had the people who want the U.S. to win but want particular players to fail. Like, some people were like, I want this comeback, but I'm not sure I want Embiid having a big part of it. There are others, namely the Boston segment of the media contingent, like, where's Tatum? They need to play Tatum. And their response is, no, if we want to win, we're not going to play Tatum. So there's a lot of that going on, as opposed to, hey, those guys went out there, represented the country, and won a big-time game. And some of it has to do with the expectation that they'll always win. But it didn't feel like that yesterday. And, Sean, I've posed this question to you before. We talked about it yesterday. How we treat the Olympics. When there is a big match or event going on, are we tuning in from the beginning? Are we waiting to see if there's any drama? Because for the most part, the U.S. men have not faced any drama in the Olympics. We know about the lead-up where they were being pushed to the brink in a couple games. This one felt like, oh, this can't last more than a quarter. This can't last more than a half. And then we get into the fourth quarter. Oh, we got a real shot to lose this one. I don't know. I don't remember when it started. You might have still been here.
I was still
here. Were you locked in from the beginning?
No, not from the beginning, just because it's hard to be locked in when you're doing a radio show.
Says you. In fact, you did just say that. Yes.
I'm not as talented at the, let's say, multitasking as you are.
No, I didn't say all that. No, I would just put all my focus on the game and stop paying attention to the show.
Oh, okay. No, I probably started paying attention like in the second quarter, I would say. And yeah, like you said, going into halftime, I'm like, all right, well, they're going to come out of halftime, and then they're just going to go on a 15-2 run, how a lot of these Olympics have gone, where it is close in the second quarter, and then Team USA just turns on the jets, and it's no longer close. So that's kind of what I thought we were getting. Instead, we got an instant classic. Thank you to Bogdan Bogdanovic
For taunting Carmelo?
Yes, yes.
If you don't know, Carmelo Anthony was courtside, pretty much calling plays for the team to run. I don't know if they were explicitly listening to him and ignoring Steve Kerr, but he was out there telling guys to clear out, telling guys to give some of the stars, well, they're all stars, but as far as this team's concerned, the LeBrons, the KDs, the Steph level stars, telling them to get out of the way, let those guys cook. And at one point, after Bogdanovich hit a big three, he looks to Carmelo and does the three to the head celebration that Carmelo loved to do in his time. And at that point, it's like 47-32. And I will say this for people who are responding to Bogdanovich, and we'll get to some of his quotes because he wasn't a fan of the officiating. You're supposed to wait until you win. Now you look stupid. Have you guys never played sports before? It's not a logical thing when you're out there in a big moment like this. He's not thinking to himself, well, this could really come back to haunt me if I do this celebration. I better wait to see if we win. No. No one thinks about that when they're playing the game. And it's not going to matter even if it does prove to be wrong. He looks to his left and sees Carmelo, who's been very vocal all game long, who he played against. Because Carmelo hasn't been out of the league that long. If he wants to taunt Carmelo in that moment, no, he shouldn't wait till the end of the game to see. That ain't how sports works, you nerds.
He did that. LeBron, KD, Steph saw that. And know what they did?
And waited till the fourth quarter to respond?
Then they took it personally.
Yes, they were up by 15 when he did it in the second quarter. It didn't click in that he just taunted one of their favorite guys until the fourth, and they came back and won.
And then they took it personally.
Yes, of course.
Basically, in the fourth quarter, Carmelo Anthony was standing for the entire game.
Yes.
I noticed that.
He might as well have been Steve Kerr. He took a position as a head coach, just standing there telling guys what to do. It was great to have something to care about and not just have this foregone conclusion. And credit to Serbia. And I mentioned it earlier about the factions, because a lot of the Denver media was rooting for Serbia for obvious reasons, with Jokic being their guy. And one of the guys, at least a fan of the Jokic, kind of congratulated them for what they did for pushing the U.S. And Kevin Durant said, "Where are you from?" That's all he said. Because he was questioning why an American would be rooting against this team, no matter his connection to Jokic and the Nuggets. And that's the weird thing. It happened with the women's soccer team, who you would probably say are far more outspoken, particularly Megan Rapinoe at the top of the list, far more outspoken than the U.S. men's basketball team. Like, who out there is saying things that you would traditionally call un-American? If you felt a certain way about what Rapinoe said, those guys, yes, they're rich. Yes, they probably do things you don't like. But for the most part, they are guys who don't get into controversy. But it's been a thing for a long time now where some of us don't root for the U.S. national team. Maybe you like an upset, maybe you like an underdog. But yesterday, even with the drama of the game, some people felt bad that Serbia didn't win. Do I call you a traitor to the country? Probably not. It's just basketball. That probably would be a little harsh. I just don't know. I just didn't know that Jokic and Bogdanovich would inspire that type of division. I mean, let's see the Serbians win. What for?
American sweethearts. Bogdanovich.
And Nikola Jokic. Yeah, I guess.
And Nikola Jovic.
Who did not play a little bit, play a lot. But
he was that, you know, people were like, yes, Jovic. Our favorite Miami Heat player is on the court right now.
Yeah, it's true. Bam, beat it. You're an American. We can't root for you. So the U.S. win. It was a big night or big afternoon. And, of course, the comp or the other thing going on was Noah Lyles finishing with the bronze and the hate watching. Despite winning the 100, apparently I guess Noah Lyles had to be perfect. Or he was going to catch some slander.
Be Usain Bolt. Or else.
Yeah. Winning the gold wasn't enough. He had to win the gold again in the 200, or he was going to be someone who was criticized. And of course, the haters found a way to make that a victory. And I guess the U.S. team's account is a hater, too. Because, we talked about Joe Fortenbaugh yesterday doing the perfect balancing act between not being a hater, but expressing his concerns. They had some cover, too. The account could have been like, no, we were just talking about not losing in the semifinals because the tweet, quote tweeting, or at least it was a picture of them winning, and the tweet was, "We don't play for bronze," or something like that, which could have, could be seen as a shot at Noah Lyles. Or they would say, "No, we're just talking about playing for the gold medal."
Yeah,
that's all we're talking about
you
here.
Who connected the
yeah,
dot.
It's if not it, us.
You're the one.
You're the one with the problem,
the
not
hater.
Us. Yeah,
you're the hater, not us.
Yeah, it was a balancing act that we all saw through. That was all about.
It was very, very, transparent.
Very apparent and very clear that was about Noah Lyles, who apparently raced with COVID. That's what we found out after. I would say a man with asthma and a man with COVID probably should be applauded for finishing in third. But the other thing is, why is a guy with COVID racing? Because he kept it quiet until the end.
Until he finished third. And then
that's the other thing.
The strategic leak happened.
Like
slap on the mask for the post-game interview.
Much like the end of a season, whether it be hockey or basketball, we find out later. If a player didn't play up to the level that we expected, I had a knee injury that I kept quiet. Hockey, you actually believe it because those guys never talk about injuries, but it'll come out, Kawhi's injuries are always apparent because he's not playing. But other guys will find out, he had a shoulder injury that we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
Or his finger was broken, but he kept playing. Noah Lyles had COVID. And I'm sure he tested
positive. Got wheelchaired off the track.
Who are you, Paul Pierce? At least Paul Pierce dumped on himself. That's why he got wheeled off. Noah Lyles. You could say maybe his performance was similar. He finished third in the Olympic event with COVID. I can't kill him too much.
Yeah, bum.
He's got a gold and a bronze.
With COVID.
You put it in quotes.
Yeah, for the radio audience, I put it in air quotes.
Sean is questioning the validity of that excuse.
Show me the test.
I don't care that much. Whether you have COVID or not, I'm not going to get upset. You won the gold in the 100. The premier event in all of track. I ain't gonna hate on you. That I allow that for NBA Twitter. They can do that if they want. But it's funny because they were like, "Oh, look at Noah Lyles," and then for two hours in that game, they're like, "Oh man, I can't really talk about Noah Lyles. Look what's going on here."
I might have to start tweeting out LeBrons.
See that from people. Oh no, he's gonna be forever known as LeBrons because he was on the 2004 team who won bronze, I think, as well. So.
Yes.
Two bronze medals in your Olympic career.
No other U.S. athlete or U.S. basketball player can say that.
And in this case, it's not an accomplishment. Noah Lyles, despite all the hate, winning a bronze in track, an accomplishment. LeBron winning two bronzes or defaulting to two bronzes because they couldn't get to the gold medal game would have been...
ultimate failure.
I know this. Forget about the MVP. Forget about all the other golds. Forget about... you know, being maybe the second best player of all time, this is a black mark on your legacy.
Yeah. Well, in 1988, they won silver. And then
it changed everything, right?
You know what? We're bringing pros.
Yeah, this sucks. We got to change things. And winning a bronze or losing the gold, I guess, is how it would be put, would be a calamity, I guess, for men's basketball. But they avoid it. And they have the gold medal game against the French. Probably one of the more electric atmospheres in a gold medal game we've ever remember it. Like the 2008 Redeem team was big because it was them trying to wipe away what happened in 04. But you've got in Paris the French national team on the other side, Wimby, Gobert. We didn't even get into that weird injury story very much. We'll see if he's available. And you've got Joel Embiid, who after the game, with the French crowd booing him, pulled the DX thing of doing the chop to his nether regions. Telling people to suck it.
Like we were saying with Bogdan Bogdanovic. I get it. It's an emotional spot. You can't tell people how to celebrate. I will say, though, Joel Embiid, wait until the gold medals are on your neck.
Because if you lose in that city, in that building, to the French national team...
Being Joel Embiid, I think that's part of it.
True. So it's got a lot to do with it. He better have a great game.
He better drop another 70 on Wimby like he did when he was on the Spurs.
Yeah, he is the one guy. He's antagonizing an entire country. And it goes beyond basketball. They believe that man gypped them out of a passport because they thought he was going to play for them. So there are a lot of things going on there. That guy better play well, and they better win the gold medal because he... because we know he's a crier. They're going to make him cry if they don't win.
Yeah, unfortunately, he does know French, so he'll...
He'll understand whatever they're saying. All of it. Like, LeBron, maybe he learns a couple words. Most of the guys have probably picked up something while they've been there. He's going to know whatever they're saying, no matter what the dialect is, whatever the slang is. I won't say there's a lot of pressure because he's got LeBron, KD, and Steph by him.
Who do you think's learned the least on Team USA? Has learned the least amount of
French? Well, we know LeBron pretends like he reads books, so he's.
But his name's LeBron.
There's a lot of that too. He should be playing for France.
Could you imagine?
Because of the name. Well,
would the French national team win gold if LeBron was on?
If they switch before the game.
Yeah.
And put, there's a chance. The LeBron we've seen, there's a chance. He's the driving force of the U.S. team. So if he's made the switch, speaking of that, Joel Embiid is suggesting he may play for Cameroon in the next Olympics.
I didn't know you could do that.
I know you could do it one time in soccer.
I didn't know you could do it one time in soccer.
I don't know if you can do it after playing in a major tournament. I know if you've gotten a cap for your national team, you can do a one-time switch. I don't know if you've played in the World Cup, you can do it. For soccer, but you're right. I didn't know that was a possibility for Joel Embiid. Maybe the restrictions aren't as stringent in men's basketball. Yeah, play for the U.S. in one Olympics. Play for Cameroon in the L.A. Olympics.
Hey, France.
I think that's recruiting again. I think that's a no-go.
What?
I think that's over for both sides.
He's in the transfer portal.
He'd be very expensive. Or is it all? Does all it take is a passport? Will he play for Australia if they offer him a passport?
No. France gave him a passport.
Yeah, that won't be enough. You're right. It won't be enough. They're gonna have to add. Yeah, you got to make sure Ben Simmons is off the team too. He's got some ass.
That'd be hilarious if Joel Embiid plays for the Australian national team before Ben Simmons does. Ben Simmons never played for the Australian national
team. He never plays in the NBA. Why would he play for the Australian team? We will come back with some news regarding your Texans. They play tonight, and we have clarification about who will play and who will not play. We know CJ will play. D'Amico Ryan's talked about that, but some starters won't. So we'll get to that as the Texans face the Steelers in a game which I say actually begins their preseason. When you don't see your starters in game one, it's almost like a scrimmage. And we know none of these games count, but we will see the starters, so we'll get to that when we come back. And anyone wants to call in, 713-780-3776 is the number. We welcome all calls, pretty much about anything. Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30 to discuss what you should or shouldn't watch in movies. Borderlands, I can probably tell you right now you shouldn't watch it without Michael giving you his opinion. But we'll see. Peña, I see you. We'll talk about the Olympics when we come back on the other side.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back. I'll give you an update on who will play and won't play for the Texans after this, but let's get to Pena. He wants to talk about the Olympics. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Dylan? Sean? I want to talk about the Olympics. So I had to wake up pretty early this morning to make a drive to San Antonio, and I caught an old friend of mine. She's in the Olympics right now. I went to school with her. She's in the 100-meter hurdles, Alicia Johnson. She's going to the finals. I want her to win that gold. It's pretty nice to say that you went to high school with someone that's in the Olympics. That's pretty dope to say. And yesterday I found out my childhood, sports and gaming were a big part of my childhood, and I found out that Cartoon Network officially shut down their website. I have a lot of fond memories on that website playing games with my cousins. I don't know if you and Sean were big at the Cartoon Network or ever on that site. If you do, pretty cool to share a memory or two. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
I appreciate it, Pena. I never played any games on Cartoon Network, but the channel itself. I like Aqua Teen Hunger Force, obviously South Park, among others. Yeah, I was big into Cartoon Network at the time. Never, like I said, played the games. I'm trying to think of if I went to high school with an Olympian. We had some water polo guys. I went to a couple high schools in California. There was a water polo guy. I think his name was Tony Acevedo. Came from a swimming family. He was on the U.S. water polo team. He went on to do that. So kind of. I didn't know him at all, though. I think I was a freshman, I think, when he was a senior. Yeah, I had some guys play in the NFL who went to my high school. But, yeah, I think Tony Acevedo is the one guy. Sean Burroughs went to my high school. He was on – he played baseball, went to the major leagues. I think he might have been on one of the Long Beach Little League teams who went to the Little League World Series as well. So that's my – that's how close I came to what you're talking about, Pena. Did you play Cartoon Network games on the website?
A little bit. Okay. A little bit. I remember the website. It was like those like Flash games, those like little games on the internet browser back in the 2000s.
Yeah.
I don't recall what they were about, but it was like the shows that were on, they made a game about them.
Got it. Gotcha. We're living our youth here and things going by the wayside. Is that Vic? Vic wants to discuss Pena. What's up, Vic?
Yeah, I just got to tell that last guy, Pena, come on, man, you got to pick it up. If the only thing that you could get excited about is somebody you know from high school or Cartoon Network, you're probably one of them guys that's been crying at the Marvel movies when you see a new character come out on the screen, man. You got a man up, man. What are you doing, Pena? Step it up. That's all I had to say.
What are you doing with your life? That's an interesting way to take that. I think the man was just say, hey, I'm rooting on a fellow American, but all right. Why aren't you in the Olympics, Pena?
Why you jump over those hurdles.
Yeah, Alicia Johnson. Is that what he said? Is that the woman's name? Hey, what are you doing with your life? Pena, I don't hold that same sentiment, but I do think it's funny that yeah. Vic decided to take that tone with you. And Pena, you got to wait till Monday if you want to come back at him. Those are the rules. You already called it. In fact, I think this is your second call of the day. I think you're on the morning show, which I don't mind. Speaking of the morning show, an announcement was made at around 8:15 or so. John and Lance are in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. I think the announcement's going to come for the entire class at 12. I saw a tweet about that, but we broke the news for our guys this morning. Congratulations to those guys. I think they've been together for about 25 years or so, something around there. Thanks to Todd Farquharson, our GM, for making the push. He was the John McClain for this. John McClain makes the argument for Houston NFL guys, if they're going to make the Hall of Fame or not. He's the advocate for them. This was Todd Farquharson getting it done for those guys. So I think the award ceremony is early November. That's a tough weekend. You got Michigan, Oregon. You got Penn State, Ohio State. It's almost like putting a wedding during football season.
Are you laying the ground?
I did that in the morning with them. I was like, guys, I said, let me look at the weekend that is and see what games are going on. Those are the two you expect to be good. You never know what else could pop up that's going to be a big-time matchup. That's a rough weekend, guys. Late in the year, playoff stuff on the line. Yeah. Going to Kilgore, Texas.
Oh, Kilgore.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, what are the TV situations like in the hotels? As far as the ability to watch all the games and keep track.
Not great. As someone who went to college and has family in that part of the world.
Okay.
That part of East Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready to learn La Quinta, buddy.
I didn't imagine the hotels would be glamorous. I was just thinking of
How do you feel about Howard Johnson's?
Don't have much feeling about it. I guess I should find out before I make the trip. If I make the trip.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good football on that weekend. And it's just to honor John and Lance. See those guys all the time. Big deal anyway.
Yeah. I like that the committee made him wait, though. 25 years. Well, Let's see what year 27 has in store for us before.
Yeah, I wonder how long you have to be in radio before you're actually eligible. The NFL over our careers are short, just sports in general, as far as it's not comparable to a non-athlete's career. How long did it take before they were sure about them? Like, all right, 20 years of this, we think they belong. Now we just have to wait for someone to make the push for them. I believe this was Lance's second time he was up for the honor. I think this was John's first time. They were obviously, someone decided Lance was more deserving than John at some point.
Trying to drive a wedge between them. I respect
you. Got to break up the duo. This time they were put up at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering if there was some sort of like the Baseball Hall of Fame where they're like, hey, Babe Ruth wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer.
That's what I asked.
Do you want to be a first? Do we think you're a first ballot?
That's what I asked. Did someone decide?
Hey, Mike Francesa wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer.
That's New York, what or whatever. Or
oh yeah,
this is Texas. You got to use a Texas guy. I don't know who would be. I know Ralph Cooper's in there. I saw when I was looking up stuff. I think he's been inducted. So we'll have those two. They can give their speeches. Where people are trying to plan a tailgate. Not sure that's appropriate for a Hall of Fame induction, but do what you want. Treat it like the NFL Hall of Fame where people make the trip to see their favorites. You want to go there? I don't know what the capacity is for the building or how big the parking lot is, but that's still off in the distance as far as planning it. But, yeah, that was announced. John Lance in the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. Well done.
If you're planning a tailgate, bring a TV setup for Dell so he can watch the college football.
I wouldn't say bring a TV setup for Dell because there's no guarantee Dell will be there.
Oh, okay.
That hasn't been decided yet. Depends on how I feel about them in a couple months. I mean, they can wear thin, just being honest. We'll come back next, unless someone calls with something else. We'll come back next with the Texans lineup for tonight, who's playing, who's not, and what the starting offensive line will be as C.J. Stroud makes his first appearance of the preseason against the Steelers. We'll be back.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Texans play tonight against the Steelers. You won't have to worry about the likes of TJ Watt or Alex Highsmith rushing the passer. Those guys won't play. Justin Fields will play as he's competing for the starting spot for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, there's no competition here. C.J. Stroud is the starter. Who will he be playing with? Not Laremy Tunsil, not Titus Howard. Those offensive linemen won't be available. Blake Fisher will start at left tackle for the Texans. Some other guys who won't play, Will Anderson, Tim Settle, Kamari Lassiter, again, won't play. He's got an ankle, according to the official report. Whether that's he can't play or we need an actual injury designation to keep him off the field for whatever reason. But so your presumptive starting corner rookie won't play in the second preseason game. Other guys like Christian Harris, you're not worried about his status as a starter. That's clear and what he can do as a player. Charlie Heck injured, taking court. I always think Corderiano, but that's not Quarter. Well, how will we do Tegan? Have you seen how it's the spelling of his name?
I'm not looking at it right now, but I have seen it before.
I always screw it up. I always want to go Corderiano, but I don't feel like Q-U-I-T-O winds up with Quarter.
No, it doesn't.
No. Noah Brown won't play, and of course, there are others like Jeff Okuda, Brevin Jordan, and Danico Autry won't play. Won't play because of suspension. So those are the guys who won't be available. And the guys who will be protecting C.J. Stroud, as I mentioned, Blake Fisher will play. You'll also have Drew Scruggs and Shaq Mason, Kenyon Green, and then you'll have Nick Broeker at right tackle. So you'll have two backup tackles protecting C.J. Stroud. But you won't have to deal with the frontline pass rushers for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's good, because getting your quarterback hit in a preseason game has got to be the worst thing. We'll see how Blake Fisher stands up against the backups for the Steelers.
Do you think that was like nuclear deterrence where
they have a conversation?
Yeah, the Steelers were like, listen, we're not going to play T.J. Watt. And so, therefore, you guys can play C.J. Stroud.
Because I know your backups are going to be in there at tackle, so yeah, don't worry about it.
There needs to be a backroom conversation with D'Amico Ryans calling Mike Tomlin being like, hey, listen, we like Blake Fisher. We really do.
And we like C.J. Stroud.
Yes. Therefore, we have to ask, is Blake Fisher going to have to block T.J. Watt tomorrow?
And Alex Highsmith and others. Minka Fitzpatrick won't play as well. So, and
Mike Tomlin's like, no. Like, thank God.
Thankfully. Let's keep that man's confidence high.
But and C.J. Stroud alive.
Yes. Yeah, so Stingley will play. So you'll see him. You'll see some other starters. But the guys I actually wanted to see as far as questions, because I had questions about them, were Kamari Lassiter. Was Titus Howard going to be healthy enough? That we kind of figured that wasn't going to happen after he got sort of carted off the field. At least he had to take a cart back inside. We'll see Jalen Petrie. How he looks at nickel will be interesting to me. That's been a storyline all camp, the position switch. But the rookie, Kamari Lassiter, I really want to see him play. Just to see if the position that they put him in as far as a clear starter and the hype surrounding him was valid. It only would have been a couple snaps, but it would have been interesting to see him. But he's got an ankle injury. So he'll have to wait for his Texans debut. The perfect scenario is much like what happened in their first game. A long drive, you score, you pack it up. You sit CJ down and go, well done. Hit Diggs a couple times, see Tank back in action after the injury, and of course the offseason shooting and Nico out there. Great chemistry. You move right down the field against the Steeler backups, at least as far as their pass rushers are concerned. And then you go, job well done, guys. CJ, take that helmet off, put that earpiece in, and relax. In fact, you want to take your pads off? You can do that too. That would be the perfect scenario. He probably can't take his pads off a series in. He's probably got to at least get to halftime before he takes them off. But that's the scenario I hope plays out.
Yeah, just one good drive. All right. Davis Mills time.
Which means for Sean, something else to watch time, I think.
The PlayStation turns on time.
That's right. Davis Mills, we've seen enough of you.
Actually, no. Probably an Astros game.
Astros in Boston this weekend. And also, we can play the sound from it. The ending of the Seattle game. I guess if Seattle's going to have a home run robbed from them the night before, you take the good with the bad. What happened last night late was nuts. The Astros were on the verge of taking a full game lead on the Mariners until a brutal misplay by the Tigers right fielder led to a bases clearing double by Cal Raleigh. And the Astros are now tied with the Mariners, but percentage points ahead. So it's late in the game. The Mariners are to their last out. It's not a routine fly ball, but even if you play it safe, a run scores, but it's not a bases-clearing double. You have a chance to go after the next guy, and the Astros have a chance to take a one-game lead. But instead, the fielder went for broke, and it didn't work out. And here's the call as the Astros miss out on the chance to be a full game up on the Mariners.
Out to right field, and it gets unpacked. The lead. Raleigh is in. Arozarena blitz run and anchor. He's on his way home. The Mariners win it. They walk it off in the ninth inning. That man does it again. Mitch Haniger.
Yeah, I said Kyle Raleigh was the guy at the plate. He was one of the guys who came around to score. You heard Haniger, the hero, as the Mariners win. Yeah, it's unfortunate. But, hey, they lose 2 out of 3. And they had the heartbreak of having a home run robbed from them. So you'll take it as you take the series from the Rangers with your day off yesterday. And now you go see the Red Sox in Boston. Sean informed me, and because he's ahead of me, that the U.S. men, I'm watching it right now as well, but YouTube TV a little bit behind DirecTV, the U.S. win, U.S. men win the gold, win the bronze after losing out on the gold medal opportunity when they lost to Poland a couple days ago in men's volleyball. We split with Serbia as well because we beat Serbia in men's basketball in the semifinal. We lost to Serbia in water polo. So the Serbians like, you ain't getting both. We're going to split this series. So the Serbian men beat the U.S. men in men's water polo today.
I'm good with that trade.
Honestly, yeah.
No disrespect to the
Flava. It's a little disrespect.
No disrespect to Flava Flav and the water polo program.
That was the women's water polo. He was backing them. The men's water polo apparently had plenty of funding. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they have a problem, too. Maybe they have a rich benefactor who was a rapper in the 80s. I don't know. Maybe Rev Run is giving money to the
Rock
men's.
Rock him.
giving money to the men's water polo team. But they lose to Serbia in the semifinal match, so they'll go for the bronze. Yeah, we'll take the split. And we'll take the more prominent split. I mean, for the men's water polo, hey, why F me? Why you say F me for?
Yeah.
But you know what we care about. Mm-hmm. It's talking trash to the giant Serbian basketball population in this country, which was a lot of just American fans who didn't want the U.S. to win.
Yep. Hey, men's water polo, if you want to get better, SLL Cool J for some money.
Or what if our best athletes were playing water polo? How would we do? How would we do? And speaking of that conversation, it's more about men's soccer. The U.S. women, they play tomorrow. They have a chance to go win the gold medal against Brazil. So a lot of stuff over this weekend as the Olympics wrap up. You've got a gold medal opportunity for the women's soccer team. And then I think the men play Sunday. Is it Sunday for them?
Men play Saturday.
Saturday
at 2:30.
So it's a doubleheader.
Yeah.
For the women, because I believe the women play before the men, so you might have double gold in that early or late morning, early afternoon block for the U.S. as we close out the Olympics. And the U.S. women are playing right now against Australia in their semifinal match. We'll come back with some sound regarding your Houston Texans. We talked a little bit about them as far as who's going to play. Well, what's the mindset for them? There's an article on ESPN, talking about CJ wanting to be a more vocal leader. We'll hear from his coach, D'Amico Ryans, on how he's trying to accomplish that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We'll get to the Texans, but we've got big news. This show has been waiting for this moment. Olympic breakdancing is underway. And the B girls and the B boys are at it. And they don't go by their government names. I don't know if they win the gold, will that be in the record books? But the names are they're breaking names. So Logistics is the American that I've seen. Her clip is going viral a little bit right now. And of course, because you got to make it cool, it's Logistics with an X. She's going against an Australian named Ray Gunn. I'm in. I love it. Let them go by their B girl and B boy names. I guess that's what that is. I don't have a lot of experience with breakdancing in the vernacular. I don't even know if they would call it aliases. It would just, hey, this is my B girl name, my breaking name. I don't know how they put that together.
But
Ray Gunn is the Australian that I haven't seen her breakdance because it's all about the American and what she did. And I can't judge breakdancing. I don't know what's great and what's not. But for the people who care about it, apparently it was a great performance to open. She's a 10 seed going against the 15 seed in Ray Gunn. So you can watch that on E, I guess, right now. Sean's looking at it right now.
I don't know. I don't understand the scoring system.
No. It's a bigger mystery than gymnastics or ice skating. But we do have it in the Olympics. And I think her name is Logan. That's her real first name. But Logistics put on a great show to start. Logistics, LOGISTX.
Oh, wow. That's not how
What did you think it was going to be spelled like?
I don't know. I don't know how I thought. I guess I expected another X.
No. But Logistics got it done in her opening round, so we'll see how that goes. Okay. Stuff we better understand, but don't think it's as fun because it's the preseason. The Texans, they play tonight against the Steelers. As I mentioned, there's an article on ESPN.com talking about CJ as he tries to be a better leader. Not that he was a poor one, but taking a more vocal role in his second year on the team. And D'Amico Ryans has noticed it. He has applauded CJ for taking on this approach. Here's D'Amico Ryans discussing the leadership role that CJ's taking in his second season. Oh, Sean got Voxprode, which is the name of one of our computers. So I'll wait for Sean to set that up as we'll hear from D'Amico here shortly. As far as what to improve on for CJ, the on-the-field stuff, unless you're in the film room and breaking down his all-22s of every game, you look at what he did as a record breaker, as a rookie, you almost think, what else is there? I've noted, I think, earlier this offseason that there were some concerns from some people about the pure drop-back passing game. There are some moments that didn't go as smoothly as they would like. We're talking about bits and pieces of what he is as opposed to the whole, which has been really, really good. So you would think some of the intangibles, maybe there would be some growth there, and leadership would be one of them. I think we have it ready now. I'm waiting for the thumbs up. So when we do, we don't know. It's less than, it's more difficult than how we normally do it because I think Sean is pulling it directly from a podcast.
It's just on the Apple podcast.
Yeah, so it's hard to time it up.
Wait for it to play all the way through.
Here's find the spot. Around. All right, there it is.
Playing video games on the field, like he wants the best for everyone, and everybody feels that competitive nature come out in him, and he's leading that way. Guys see how important it is to him every rep. It's important to him, and it's important for him to see others do well. And when your quarterback is that way, it's easy to lead the team because no one wants to let him down. They know how special of a guy he is. They know how special of a talent he is. You can't help but pull for the guy. You can't help but dig a little deeper and play your hardest for him.
When you're seeing CJ.
D'Amico Ryans on his second-year quarterback, who we'll see tonight. Does this speak to the level of where women's soccer is that France and Spain are playing on a Friday for the gold medal and the women get to play on the Saturday? Now it's the summer. I mean, but France is the home team and their gold medal match is relegated to a Friday. I don't know how the French put ratings into question and prominence, but a Friday match as opposed to a Saturday one? For the gold medal?
It might be something where they alternate, because I know they do that with track, where it's not always the same like order of events. Like they'll switch them around so some are in prime time from year to year.
Understood.
But
you got your. I think France is one of the favorites to make the gold medal game, and they are there against Spain. Spain's trying to have a really good summer as far as soccer is concerned. They won the Euros. And now they have a chance to go win the Olympic gold medal as well. But a Friday. Packed houses, you might imagine, as France and Spain. Probably the two best teams in the tournament. I mean, that's obvious when they're in the gold medal. But as far as how they've played, get a chance to win gold. And the U.S. women get that chance tomorrow.
If you're wondering if one of the B-girls was wearing a do-rag, they are.
I'm glad I've been informed of that. She's what's her name?
Well, she's Lithuanian. And it's Nick
It's Nick. N-I-K?
It's Nick and then A.
N-I-C-K. Nick Yeah, we got to be careful with that word. I'm glad you slowed yourself down when you're saying it.
I was just going to leave it at she was a Lithu. And then you're like, what's her name? Say her name.
Well, if it's
as quickly as possible.
I didn't say as quickly as possible, but if I know Logistics or Raygun are competing, I want to know all the names. So yes. Nick, is it Nick A or Nick
Let's go Nick A.
Yeah, maybe we go just to save yourself the trouble.
There's not a dash or an apostrophe, but I'll just say Nick A.
Just to save yourself from a potential slip.
She's Lithuanian going up against Raygun.
Oh, so I know that Logistics had a performance that went viral. Did Raygun advance with the performance I didn't see?
I don't know.
We don't know. We're just watching.
What are you talking about?
That's a question. That's a tough question. That's on me.
Raygun.
You could treat me like Kevin Durant treats the media after that question. Kevin Durant.
Where are you from?
We'll get to some of the things that Kevin Durant said beyond the where you from question when he was questioning an American who was rooting for the Serbians simply because the guy, I think, either covers the Nuggets or is a fan of the Nuggets. I think he's a media member who covers the Nuggets, so he was rooting on Serbia or had some nice words for Serbia, which pissed off Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had something for a lot of people yesterday. He had time on Twitter, so we'll get to that. And certainly we have some more sound as the Texans get ready for their game tonight against the Steelers. 1 hour in, 1 hour to go. Remember, 11:30, Michael Carroll will join us as well. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.